అశ్రోత్రేశ్వరీ శ్రీమాన్ అభిచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవేశ ఓం విశ్వపాల పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజనాచార్య అశ్రోత్రేశ్వరీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి మహాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సభవ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాదిగౌడ భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధారుడి గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి వరగాపురి ధామికి రంగమాయకి అన్నమాయకి తులసీదేవికి పతిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త వృందకి నమస్తే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం
నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కర్వామి హే కర్మగ్రాహకీకాంగం మాముద్ధర భవానవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముత్యక్తం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం భవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయనే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం మోహయద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాభ్యస్య యతోన్మయా ఇతరదస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది కవే ధర్మసరాస్తవమత్రమస్సు శివదం తామత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాభవిహృతే కింవావరేశ్వర సద్యో హృద్య వరుధ్య నిత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణ నిగమ కల్పత లోకలిదం ఫలం శుభముఖాదవ ద్రవ సంయుతం పిబల భాగవతం రసమాలయం మూఢహోరసిలా భూయి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజన్నం అనువేదవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహనాదరమజ్జుభావ పుత్రేణిరన్మయనయతరోభినేదుక్తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిదిశాంతమౌనం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాహురాణ గుహ్యం తాం వ్యాసశూన్యముపయాని గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయమువీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేలు కొనిదాదుదానేందో మమ వాజి విజంబరామురారే మధురిన్నా కణికావి కావి కావి. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ चक्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिने नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमती गुरुजनारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजश्रीणां पादरेणुमभीषणशां यासां हरिगतो गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीशरणारविन्दप्रमाणमे नमः पीताम्बरं करविकासितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वनपालयेशमनिशं प्रतिभावयामि कोमलं कूजयं वेणं श्यामोयं वेदवेदमरं ब्रह्म भासलाम्बुलोमम् भूमं करोति वाजालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृवाहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् श्रीकृष्णाय श्रीपराधिराये नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द सत्यस्य ते सुरशमाल्पनमाल्पनून्यम् वक्तारमीश विभुदेषु विनानुचक्षे सर्वे विमोहितधिय तव माये ब्रह्मादयस्तनुहृदाः गहिरर्थभावाहम् तस्माद्भवन्तम् अनवन्दम् पद्यवारम् सर्वज्ञमीश्वरमकुण्ठ विकुण्ठतृष्ण्यम् निर्विन्नधि अहमुहव्रजिनाभि दत्तो नारायणम् नरसखम् शरणम् प्रपद्ये. Uddhava, before he began the discussions with Krishna in Ekadasha Skandam, this is how he informed Krishna about Krishna's position. Then Uddhava says to Krishna that instead of accepting any instructions from anyone else except Krishna, he says they are all under the control of Maya, including Brahma, Lord Shiva and everybody else. So therefore, there is only one shelter, Uddhava says, and I have got that shelter. Uddhava was feeling actually great satisfaction within himself for being able to ask Krishna these questions directly for himself. Just before Krishna departed from this world, that's why he is saying there, Tasmadhavandam anavadyamanandamaram sarvajnam ishwaram akunda vikundadishnam nirvinnadhi ahamuhavrajinabhidatto narayanam narasakam sharanam bhavadhi narayanam narasakam. Supreme Personality Krishna, to whom he has taken shelter. Arjuna also mentioned the same thing to Krishna, isn't it? In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita you will see there Krishna saying to Arjuna that I surrender. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. That is how he said, I surrender unto you, please accept me as your surrendered servant and instruct me. Similarly, Uddhava also says here, Narayanam narasakam sharanam prapadye. Uddhava also surrenders to Krishna in the same way. So you can see the principle in Krishna consciousness, first thing is the surrender process. Unless one is surrendered to Krishna, it is difficult to understand Krishna's instructions. We cannot intellectually understand what Krishna is saying. The surrender is the first requirement. It is from there we understand what Krishna is saying. So, we were discussing on this particular subject where Krishna has instructed Uddhava about the 24 spiritual masters whom his ancestor King Yadu has heard from the Dattatreya Maharshi while King Yadu was on his travels. So Dattatreya Maharshi instructed King Yadu on 24 spiritual masters, which we are discussing for last so many Sundays. There we have reached so far verse number 10 in chapter 9, where we were talking about that the lesson he has learned from that young girl Kumari. Vase bahunam kalaho bhave dvartha dvayvarami ekaiva sharir tasmal kumarya ivakanganaham. That vase bahunam kalaho. If too many people live together, there will be a quarrel. And bhave dvatva dvayoravim. Even if it is two persons, they may not quarrel, but there will be always unnecessary talk, unnecessary gossip or unnecessary conversation happening between the two. From this you can see, even in spiritual life, one has to look after one's own spiritual life. Others cannot help us in that matter. We may think that in the association of devotees I am executing spiritual life, but at the same time Krishna is saying here, vase bahunam kalaho. If you are with the association of so many people, all it will end up is in simply waste of time. All sorts of things will be discussed which is not relevant with Krishna consciousness. And therefore is strongly advised. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vivikta Desha Sevitum Aradir Janasamsadi. One should learn to withdraw oneself from the external world and turn inwards. And that's only possible if one is alone. It's not possible to do that in the association of so many people. So, vase bahunam kalaham, bhave dvata dvayoravi. And instead, when there are only two people, say there is not a crowd of people, but there's only two people. If there is a group of people, what will happen? Politics will start first. There will be groupism inside, and there will be politics. And the politics starts, and they will divide people into groups. One group will fall into one, and into another. That kind of problems will develop. Now, suppose there is no group of people, there's only two people. Even then, Krishna says, bhave dvata dvayoravi. Even there is two people, there will be problems, he says. They will talk unnecessarily and useless things. Then, ega eva charir tasmal kumarya ivakanganaha. Therefore, he learned, ega eva charir. One should learn and one should warn oneself in spiritual life. Ega eva charir tasmal. This is the lesson that Dattatreya Maharshi has learned. Look at Dattatreya Maharshi, he was moving on his own. He didn't want any association with anybody because he thought the association was too costly for him to spare his time. He had a goal in his life that he wanted to become, to realize the self, what he is, the spiritual realization. So for that, he was willing to pay any price for that. So therefore he is saying here, ega eva charir tasmal. That therefore, ega eva charil, he should walk, move on his own. Kumarya eva kangana. And this lesson he learned from that young girl who removed all the bangles and only one bangle was left in each hand, and with the result was that there was no more noise coming from that, and she was able to execute her duty. This lesson he learned from that young girl. So, now, after this spiritual master of the young girl, next one, he is talking about the person who was manufacturing arrows for the king, which we talked about. Manaye gatra samyujjal jidashwaso jidasanaha vairagyabhyasa yogena priyamana madandridaha. Jidasana jidashwasam vairagyabhyasa yogena driyamanam manaha tandridaha egatra samyujjal. Even after learning how to sit in one place properly without getting disturbed, and also controlling the prana, the life air inside through pranayama, still by practicing vairagyam and practicing the abhyasam, vairagya abhyasam Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? With that, one should be able to control the mind and control and concentrate the mind on the spiritual truth, on the soul. Because the tendency of the mind is to go outwardly to the world, external world, and absorb in the world. And the mind creates this world in front of us. When the mind gets absorbed in the world outside, it brings out all kinds of problems. But the one who wants to go in the spiritual path, Krishna is saying here, that he should control through vairagyam, through renunciation and control of the mind, he should control the vikshevam and layam. Vikshevam and layam we spoke about before. Vikshevam means to, vikshevam is the different thoughts that comes in and takes you away from the principle for which you have kept as your goal. So vikshevam can come like different kinds of vikshevam we talked about. And then layam, if it cannot absorb in anything, If the mind does not find something not interesting, then what happens to the mind? It goes into sleep. Laya. Laya means to dissolve itself. So Vikshepam and Layam are two things that are the enemies of the mind. But instead of allowing Vikshepam and Layam to happen, the mind should be controlled by proper practice. Krishna is saying here, Vairagya Abhyasa Yogena. That what is that the goal of all that? Yasmin mano labdhavadam yade yadevam shanirishanir munjari karmarenun sattvena vruddhena rajasthamasya vidhuya narvaham vaityanindhanam. This is what we finished with last Sunday, last time. Yasmin manu labdhavadam yadevam. That by constantly absorbing the mind in spiritual consciousness and spiritual reality, little by little, that the karma vasanas will go away from a person. Karma vasana, it's very difficult to leave karma vasana. Karma vasana means our desire to act all the time. Karma means following us all the time. It creates more vasanas inside. So by such activity, the karma vasana will go away, and the result will be that in due course, the sattvagunam will control rajogunam and tamogunam. That means rajas and tamas, which are the two things which causes vikshepam and layam. Rajogunam causes vikshepam and tamogunam causes layam. As you know, these two things we have spoken about many times before. Vikshepam is caused by rajogunam and layam is caused by tamogunam. Vikshepam means this disturbed mind. Disturbed mind is the nature of this vikshepam. When there are too many thoughts building up inside, especially while chanting the holy name, you will see many times devotees complaining also about this. I am chanting but my mind is not under control. Why? Because there is too much rajogunam inside. And there is a lot of, because, and that rajogunam is creating a lot of vikshepam inside. Vikshepam. And similarly, when there is too much tamogunam, the devotee falls into sleep. Tamogunam takes over. So tamogunam and vikshepam, layam and vikshepam are directly coming from rajogunam and tamogunam. By constantly endeavoring to develop sattvagunam, one can free oneself from this. So sattvagunam takes over, rajogunam and tamogunam will go away. Sattvena vruddhena rajasthamashaha. That sattvena vruddhena, when sattvagunam is increasing, building up in a person, rajas and tamas will go away. Vidhuya nirvana ubhaityanindhanam. Then, when sattvagunam has increased considerably inside, what will happen to that person? That's what is mentioned here. That the mind will become completely peaceful. And with the result that when the mind is peaceful, spiritual understanding will come. The reason why we do not understand spiritual life is because of this rajogunam and tamogunam inside. So here, Krishna is saying here, that sattvagunam is absolutely mandatory for spiritual knowledge to build up in a person. Sattvagunam is absolutely mandatory. So therefore he says here, a mind which has developed the sattvagunam will become automatically very peaceful. That is the nature of the sattvagunam. Sattvagunam is such that it will become, make a person peaceful. We have talked about this before also, that as you know, out of the three states through which the soul is passing through all the time, Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, you may think that Jagrat state is wonderful only if the Sattvagunam is predominating. Sattvagunam is predominating. Or the Sattvagunam is influential in developing these qualities of spirituality. Otherwise, Jagrat state is not a very comfortable state compared to Swapna or Sushupti, the deep sleep state. When you go into a deep sleep state, you can see people think that, oh, I have fallen asleep, therefore in deep sleep, and therefore I was in tamogunam. But deep sleep state also is a superior state. That's what we forget. In deep sleep state, what happens to the soul is that the soul has managed to get rid of two things. Two things it has managed to get rid of. What are they? First thing, it managed to come out of this ego, false ego inside, which is a big thing, isn't it? Normally, this is one of the most difficult things to free oneself from, false ego. That goes away in the Sushupti state. In the Sushupti state, that goes away.
the deep sleep state, in the Sushupti state, the false ego goes away. Me and mine, that goes away. That's first thing. Secondly, the bodily concept of life goes away. The bodily concept of life goes away. First thing, the false ego goes away. Secondly, the bodily concept of life goes away. Just like in the Jagrat state, in this world, we are absorbed in fighting because of the identity with the body, isn't it? We say a Brahmana and a Shudra. There is a problem there. Somebody says Brahmana is superior, somebody says Shudra is important. In that way, there is always conflict. The different identities, all related to the body. All related to the body. Similarly, even if you look anything, once you cross over the dream state and come to deep sleep, that's all finished. Brahmana is over, Shudra is also over. Catholic is over, Protestant is over with that. In the Sushupti state, there is neither Catholic nor Protestant. There is neither Shia nor Sunni. There is neither this nor that. All these are, when you come to the Jagrat state or the dream state, all these things can happen. But once you go into the Sushupti state, these things have completely gone away from us. What does that mean? It means that when the soul is moving from Jagrat to Swapnam to Sushupti, at least in Sushupti state, all these bodily identifications as well as the false ego, it is able to get out of it. It's able to get out of it. That's why it is necessary to study Sushupti state also in depth. Because in Sushupti states, many things which we consider as serious problems in spiritual life. Bodily concept of life is a serious problem. Similarly, false ego is a serious problem. These are the things we are trying to wipe off from our consciousness in Jagrat state, isn't it? And these two things don't exist in the Sushupti state. It doesn't even exist in the Sushupti state. So imagine what a beautiful state of consciousness that is. Although we may say deep sleep is tamogunam and all that, but still, even in that tamogunam and deep sleep, still there are some good things. At least this bodily concept of life doesn't worry us. This is one thing very difficult to get rid of in the Jagrat state, isn't it? That's what we are talking about here through this 24 spiritual masters. What the point he was making was, yasmin mano labdhapadam yadena shanei shaneer munjadi karmarenun shanei shaneer munjadi karmarenun shanei shaneer, little by little, he says, not immediately, in one step, it's not possible to do that. So he says there, shanei shaneer, in Bhagavad Gita also you will see Krishna saying the same thing. Shanei shaneer, shaneer shaneer means little by little, not in one stretch. Not in one lot, it cannot be done. Shanei shaneer, that is Krishna's principle. Shanei shaneer munjali karma renun. Shanei shaneer, you can, little by little, you can remove this karma vasana from inside. And when that sattvena vruddhena rajasthamena rajasthamascha vidhuya nirvana uvaityanin dhanam. And when, with the power of sattvagunam, when rajogunam and tamogunam is completely burned up, what will happen? The mind will become totally peaceful, completely peaceful. That's what is the nature of the sattvagunam. This is the point Krishna is making here. Then, if that happens, then what will happen in the mind? There will be no spurti. Spurti means this kind of different thoughts which drives you away from the soul will not happen inside. That's what it says in the next verse. Tadeva matmanya viruddha chitto na veda kinjil bhirandaram va yedheshu garo nirpatim vrajanda mishau gadalmana darshavashvem. Tadeva matmanya viruddha chitto na veda kinjil bhirandaram va yedheshu garo nirpatim vrajanda mishau gadalmana darshavashvem. Ishukaraha ishogadalpa parshve vrajandam nrapadim abhi yadana dadadrsha tatha almani avaruddha jittaha munihi bahirandaram va kinjil na vedaha. Just like ishukara means one who is making these arrows. As I mentioned before, the story is that the king came, the king called this man who was making the arrows and told him, how many arrows do you make in a day? He said that I make some 30 or 40 arrows or something. The king said, I need a lot more than that. Arrows made every day. 60 or 70 arrows, he said to him. He gave him a much higher target and told him to go and make it. So being frightened of the king, this arrow maker, he came to his workshop and started making arrows. Remember, he was making it manually. So every arrow has to be made properly according to the needs of the king. So he started making them, and he was very conscious that if he doesn't make the quantity what the king has ordered, he'll be in trouble. So he was completely focused on that, and he started making it. At that time, the king along with his entourage came that way. And king noticed he was making the arrows, but the man who was making the arrows did not notice the king who was going that way. Later on, the king returned the same way with all his associates. Even then, he kept on making the arrows and he didn't notice the king passing through. And eventually he was able to make the quantity what the king has ordered. That so, similarly, here, in the end of the day, when he counted the arrows, the required quantity what the king has ordered, and he brought it back to the king and delivered to the king. King says to him, how many arrows did you make? He told him whatever quantity he has made according to the order. So king asked him, did you see me when I came that way? Did you see me? He said, no, I didn't see you. So king says, I went through that twice. I went one way and then returned back the same way. So the arrow maker, the man who was making the arrow, says, I didn't notice anything. In other words, his mind was completely focused on what he was doing. So then he says here that similarly, a realized soul, the Tathagatamahārṣi is saying here, one he situated in his position as the on the spiritual truth, as the soul on a spiritual platform, there is no question of deviating and going away to something else. Then he will not know anything what is going on in this world. It will have no impact on him. That is the interesting thing here. Spiritual realization means being situated on a spiritual platform, completely unaffected by what's going on in this material world. It will not have any impact on him. That's what he's saying here. I learned this lesson from this person who was making the arrows. The Tathagatamahārṣi says. The Tathagatamahārṣi is learning from everyone something for his own spiritual upliftment. He is saying that I have to be so fixed up like this arrow maker. If not, I'm not going to progress spiritually. If my mind is wandering around all over the world looking for different gratification, where is the question of mind getting situated in spirituality, in spiritual realization? This is the most important point. So I learned this lesson, he says, from this arrow maker. Then he says what he learned from the serpent.
ఏకజారి అనికేత అప్రమత్త గుహాశయ ఆచార్యై అలక్ష్యమాన ఏక అల్పభాషణ.
He says here, a muni or a realized soul should always think about moving around like a snake. Snake goes alone most of the time. And at the same time, he has no fixed abode or fixed place of residence. And he should not be proud of anything and being fully satisfied in the spiritual realized state. And nobody should notice him anywhere. He should be free from all kinds of special identification. And also, he should not look for any assistance from anyone and should only talk what is minimum necessary. Otherwise, it will cause problems, he says. That just like he said earlier, that if you want to associate with, if you want to break away the connection with the other people in this world, you have to follow the girl, young girl. We talked about Kumari Iva Kangana, that young girl and her bangles. From that example, the Tathagatamahārṣi says, I learned this one lesson, not to get trapped into a group of people and waste my time there. Here he says there, that I also have to be careful not to associate with people who are not involved in spiritual life. In Kumari's case, what was happening was, even if you are with other people who are interested in spiritual life, even if you are with other people who are interested in spiritual life, you should be careful not to associate with them to that level that you waste your time. Or even if there are two people, still there is a possibility of talking to each other. there is, you have to be careful. So in other words, in this case, in the case of the serpent, he is saying, there you have to even leave the association of others. Here you have to leave the association of those who are not even interested in spiritual life. Pragrata Janam, they are called. Pragrata means one who are very much involved in the materialistic way of life. You have to be careful about them also. That's what he is pointing out. He is pointing out whether the people are absorbed in material life, whether the people are absorbed in spiritual life, you still have to guard yourself from being affected by that. Otherwise it's not possible. That's what he's saying here. That I learned this from the snake. Snake moves on its own. These things are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam for one reason only. That reason is that if our goal is clear in our head, it is spiritual realization, isn't it? To understand what we are. That's the only thing what we don't know, isn't it? What we are, we don't know. We know everything else in this world except what we are. So realizing ourselves is a goal. Once we have realized that, then we know what other things are, what our connection with that. So here, he says here, that in order to realize the self, self-realization, this is the process. To move away from all other associates, all other materialistic or spiritualistic people, because they all can take away your time and take your mind and intelligence away from these things.
Griharambho adidukhaya vibharashadruvatmanaham sarpa paragritam meshma praveshya sukhametadeyin adruvatmanaha griharambha vibhalaha adidukhaya cha bhavatihi.
See, one whose body is always moving around and looking for something and is trying to do so many things, for him it will be very difficult to control his mind. And it will cause a lot of distress for him later. Sarpaha parakritam veshna pravishya sukhamedade. Because some people sometimes, you can see, especially in the modern lifestyle, what we have in the modern world, that we want to have so many houses, so many apartments, living in different holiday homes, here, there, everywhere. Then we try to develop relationships with other people, thinking that different places of residence in different places will help us to live a comfortable life in this world. Those things are alright from the material level, from materialistic platform, but for a spiritual person who wants to advance on the spiritual path, they are all obstacles. Dattatreya Maharshi is saying that. He is saying to such an extent, he says here, that just like a snake one has to be. What is that snake does? Snake moves around the whole day or even in the night. And then whichever hole it finds, it goes in and takes shelter there in that. So Sukadeva Goswami and Krishna also through the Dattatreya Maharshi is pointing out that the endeavor for building a residence should not be increased. It should be kept to the very minimum. Because otherwise a lot of time will be wasted. Actually, that is what is to learn from the snake. Snake believes that it should find a hole somewhere and it will take the shelter there. It will take the shelter in that hole. So such a way, those who want to advance on the spiritual life, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying there, that he should not be overly concerned about his place of residence. It should come in a normal course, whatever Krishna has provided, one should be able to live in that. In other words, unnecessary endeavor or excessive endeavor for finding a place of residence in this world is not conducive for spiritual life. Now, after saying this, he goes on to the, I learned this lesson from the serpent, he says. So the Dattatreya Maharshi is observing. He saw the snake going into the hole and he noticed that the snake did not build any place of residence for it, just like we do. So it managed to take shelter in some hole on that particular night. Dattatreya Maharshi thought that, can I not do the same thing? Why do I have to go on building a house for myself to shelter this body which is again temporary? So in this way, his consciousness is developing, spiritual consciousness is developing. So you will see when you study these 24 spiritual masters, one after the other, all these 24 spiritual masters have given different instructions to Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi utilized them to his advantage, and therefore he was able to move further in the spiritual path. In the next one, he is talking about another spiritual master, which is the spider. Then, without any reason, what did he learn from the spider? Without any reason, Krishna creates this whole creation, creates the whole creation, and after that withdraws everything back into him. This is what he found out from the spider. The spider, he noticed that the spider was sitting somewhere, and suddenly the spider started creating a web, a huge web. And after creating the web, it stayed there and kept observing, and many different kinds of living entities, insects and all, fell into the web. He caught all the spider caught all of those insects, those whom he could catch, and after that he withdrew the whole web back into him. So from this example of the spider, he says here that Krishna also does exactly the same thing. What does he do? Ego Narayana Deva Purva Srishtam Sumaya Samhritya Kala Kalaya Kalpanda Midanishwaraha Egameva Adhiniyo Bhul Atha Alpa Atha Atharo Akhilashayaha Kalena Atmanubhavena Samyam Nidasu Shaktishu Sattvayishu Adipurushaha Pradhana Purusheshwaraha Paravaranam Paramamaste Kaivalya Samsthidaha Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoho Nirubadigaha. This is how he talks about that. Ishwaraha Narayano Devaha Egaha Kala Kalaya Swamayaya Purva Srishtamidam Samhritya Atmanubhavena Kalena Sattvadishu Shaktishu Samyam Nitasu Ekaha Eva Adhuriyaha Akhinashayaha Atmadharaha Adi Purushaha Pradana Purusheshwaraha Abhut. Right. Using Maya, just like the spider has used that thread to make that web, which comes from spider's body, isn't it? That liquid-like thing which pours from the spider's body, the spider throws in different directions and makes a beautiful web. Makes a beautiful web. So that the food, what the spider needs, comes and falls into the web and it catches the living other the insects. Similarly, Krishna also has got this thing called Maya. With the help of Maya, Krishna creates. With the help of Maya, Krishna creates. Maya is used for that purpose. That, and then he destroys the same thing at the end. And with the help of time. Time is behind it. So time and Maya, two things. With the help of Maya he creates, and in due course of time he withdraws everything back. And at the time, and in that process, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. Maya means what? These three gunas, isn't it? Three modes of material nature. That's what's called Maya. So using these three modes of nature, Krishna creates, and when they come to Samyavastha, Samyavastha means that there's two things, Samyavastha and Vishamavastha. Vishamavastha means when they are unbalanced. When the three modes of nature is unbalanced, they are called Vishamavastha. When they are balanced properly, they are called Samyavastha. And in Samyavastha, when all the three modes of material nature are balanced, that that people are able to take advantage of Krishna, realizing Krishna at that time. When excessive modes of nature are operating, particularly the lower modes of nature, people find it very, very hard to realize the truth. So in the modes of nature balance, it makes it a lot easier. That's what it is saying here. Paravaranan paramaha kaivalya samminaha nirubhadiya kevalanu bhavananda samdoha aste. That when the modes of nature are balanced, automatically in the human mind there will be a desire for spiritual realization. This is the reason why it's spoken that the modes of nature should be balanced. Not that we can completely get rid of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Rajogunam is necessary. Tamogunam is also necessary. But Sattogunam is important more than anything else. Completely to wipe off Rajogunam and Tamogunam is difficult. And it's not necessary also, because I mentioned before also, if there is no Tamogunam, you won't be able to rest at night. With you, you won't be sleeping. Whole night you'll be awake. If there is no Rajogunam, you won't be able to get up and walk from here to another place. You'll be sitting where you are sitting right now. So that's also not the right thing. That's called that state of existence. This is what we are talking about, Samyavastha and Vishamavastha. Samyavastha means when they are properly balanced in a person. In other words, predominated by Sattogunam, he is feeling peaceful inside in the mind, that he is able to develop spiritual life. This is Samyavastha. Vishamavastha means it's totally disturbed and Rajogunam and Tamogunam is predominating there. And when they are predominating, what happens? There will be no spiritual life. It's not that completely you will wipe away Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That's not possible. Sattogunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam should be there, but it should be in a balanced state. That's called Samyavastha. And in that Samyavastha, one will inquire automatically about the truth. This is the advantage of that Samyavastha. That you will feel the need to inquire about the self. Now we are not feeling even the need for inquiring about the self, are we? We think, what is the need now? Why is that happening like that? Even after Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna telling us millions of times, still we are thinking, what for do I have to do all these things? Why is that happening? Because of the Vishamavastha, Rajogunam and Tamogunam predominating us. When they are controlling us, even the inquiry won't develop inside. We'll be still busy with all the other problems of this world. This is what Krishna is saying here. So, automatically, Paravaranam Parama Aste Kaivalya Samsthitaha Kevalana Bhavananda Sandoho Nirvadigaha. Only Krishna is approachable even for Lord Brahma, that Brahma and even great personalities, they can understand and they will have access to Krishna and see the importance of realization, liberation also, and who has spoken, who has been referred to, who is free from all kinds of conditioning, upadhirahitam. Upadhirahitam means there is no more conditioning on that Supreme Personality, Krishna. Nothing influences him. He is free from all conditioning. And it is him who is discussed in all the Vedic literature as the goal of liberation. Goal for liberation. And at the same time, without any external help, he is also able to he is also able to execute creation. That is another important thing mentioned here. Kevalatmanubhavena somayam trigunalmiyam samshobhayam srijatyado taya sutramarindamaham. Arindama addressing king, he says, Kevalatmanubhavena trigunalmiyam somayam samshobhayam ado taya sutram srijati. Then, what does Krishna do? Krishna uses time. Krishna has got two tools with him. One is Maya. Maya means Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three modes of nature. And the second thing is time. Time and the modes of nature, these are the two things which Krishna uses in creation. This time is a very interesting thing. Only when you think about it, you will know how interesting time is. We give so much importance to time, isn't it? But time is very much limited to this world. For example, if you look at this world, we say in reference of time, we refer to time with reference to what? With reference to one thing only. What's that? The sun, isn't it? When the sun rises in the morning, when the sun rises, we say, oh, it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it is. When the sun sets in the evening, again we say the night has come. So the sun sets in the evening, we say it's 6 o'clock in the evening. So we have developed a measurement process by which, in relationship with the sun, everything, day and night. And the same thing, day and night, is followed throughout the world, throughout the planet, and we have developed Greenwich Mean Time, European Standard Time, and all sorts of times, isn't it? To give some reference to something. This is all because the sun is there. Now suppose you go to the sun there, and you are in the sun planet, how will you measure the time? What will happen there? So time is only such a thing, it is given importance because we are living in this earthly planet here, and we need some reference for our own performance, or performing our own life here, or whatever we are doing here, whatever nonsense we are doing here, for which we need some measuring system. But we have taken this time as absolute. But time is absolute in the sense that Krishna controls the time in a different way. Krishna doesn't measure the time like the we measure the time, like the hour, minute, second. Krishna's way of measuring is completely different. So it is that time, Kalavrusha, he is called. Because he controls the time in different ways, he is called Kalavrusha, Purusha, who controls time. That. So, here, in this verse, he says here, with the help of time, with the help of Maya, all this creation happens. With all this creation happens. And when he creates this, the creation process begins. And in that process, first the Maya gets agitated. Maya gets agitated. Ichanam. Ichanam means Krishna looks at the Maya, and from that Maya gets agitated. When does Maya get agitated? When Krishna looks at the Maya. When Maya gets agitated, from that Mahatattvam comes. Mahatattvam, and from that Ahamtattvam comes later. We talked about in the third canto. That, but even though it happens, Mahatattvam Rahimya, one, Krishna is saying here, one who has controlled one's senses, he would not have to be fearful about all these things. These things are there because of our lack of control of the senses. Lack of control of the senses. That's the point Krishna is making here. That samsara, material existence. Because there is a time factor in this world, we get frightened of that, isn't it? As soon as you get to 60, 65, start thinking, oh, I'm going to be in pension now. 65-year-old means pension, straight away. That means one fear is gone of household life, and another fear of death is coming closer. You're talking about in a general sense. Death can come even before 65. There is nothing that will stop death coming from. But the important thing to realize is, this thing called time, what we have created, itself is standing in front of us with a question mark, when are you ready to go? Isn't it? It tells us that as we advance in the age, that we know in our own mind, perhaps if we make it to 75, 80 is not bad innings. If we get that far. We may not get that far, sometimes may go before that. But where did this fear come? This fear had come because I know in my mind that average lifespan may be 75, 80, if everything goes well, but maybe the last 10, 15 years in misery before we say goodbye to this body. So, all this has happened because of this time factor, which we have created ourselves with this. Somehow or the other, when Krishna enters into every living entity, individual soul as in every living entity, he is called Sutralma. Sutralma means, sutra means a thread. Just like a thread, he enters into everyone. In every living entity. Therefore, the title given to Krishna is Sutralma. Sutralma means thread. You will see that in the Bhagavad Gita also. Where does it say there? He says there, Sutre Manigana Iva, in the 8th chapter, you will notice that. Sutre Manigana Iva, that he is like a sutram, he is like a thread through all of us. All of us. The one factor that is common to all of us is Krishna, isn't it? Krishna is within us as the soul, present in every one of us. So that is the one factor that is joining us all together. So here he says here, one who has controlled one's senses, he will know this Sutralma. Sutralma is a very important word in the Shastra. That once who knows the Sutralma, he will know that Krishna is present in everyone. Whom should I be frightened about? You cannot be frightened about yourself, can you? When you realize in everyone Krishna's presence, the fear will go away automatically from one person. The fear is there because you are seeing in everyone different persons. Seeing the body and identifying with the body, and the fear builds up inside. You are fearful of someone else, A, B, C, D, whoever it is. But that fear will only go when the realization of Sutralpa comes in. When we see Krishna is present in everyone as the soul, Krishna is in one dress here, in another dress there. Whichever dress he has taken. But whatever it may be, that the thing what is common to all of us is Sutralpa, Krishna. So Sutralpa, that's what he is saying here. Jitendriya, one who has controlled the senses, means he is operating in Sattvagunam. And in that Sattvagunam, this realization will come very strongly. Very strongly. And that is what will help us. Not going out looking for all sorts of other solutions. This is the solution, what Bhagavatam is saying here. Tamahu Trigunavyaktim Srijandim Vishwato Mukham Yasmin Pradamidam Vishwam Yena Samsarade Puman. Very important words. Tamahu Trigunavyaktim Srijandim Vishwato Mukham. That great souls say, great personalities, they say that this Sutralpa, which is in everyone, that this is the cause of the creation. Because only when Krishna has manifested a Sutralpa in every living entity, this material world has come into existence. Otherwise, material world cannot exist. If Krishna has not expanded in all these different forms, as human species, animal species, bird species, bee species, plants, trees, all different, 8.4 million different species. In all these species, if Krishna has not expanded like that, the world cannot exist. So only because of Krishna's presence only, this whole world exists. This is the logic behind it. That, therefore he says here, great soul says like, Yasmin idam nishvam pradam yena puman samsarade. It is only because of that sutram, the thread there, present, because of the thread's presence only, this material world exists. Otherwise the material world don't exist. Had Krishna not entered into every living being, had he not got himself involved in every living entity, where is the material world? So Krishna creates everything, Krishna enters into everything, so we are all here, in these different forms, different dresses, different ideas, everything. That even the all the Vedic literature, particularly the Upanishads, glorifies about the Sutralpa, Krishna's presence in that form. Example is given. Yadhornana vihrdaya durnam sandatya vakradaha tayo vihrtya taya vihrtya bhuyasam grasatyevam maheshwaram. That the like the spider, urnanabhi. Urnanabhi is the word for the spider. What the urnanabhi does? Urnanabhi does this thing. That the thread that comes from its inside, a thread that comes from its inside, it brings it out, and like a net it throws out. Like a net it throws out. And it plays with that net for a long time. And ultimately what does he do? He pulls it back again to himself. Similarly, Krishna also from himself comes out all these living entities, all this external world. And he enters into all of that. And just like the spider pulls the thread back, he pulls us all back to him at the end. Only thing is, it's a very long stretch of time before that happens. But in reality, Dattatreya Maharshi says that whenever he looked at other living entity, he realized that they have also come from Krishna. This is to understand this point, that how to develop Krishna consciousness on a practical level. On a practical level. That's why it's important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. When we don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam, these things won't go in. And we will speculate in our own mind that this is my understanding of Krishna consciousness. But in order to avoid that, in Srimad Bhagavatam, these examples are given. How important it is to understand that Krishna has expanded himself in different forms, withdrew himself from all of them at the end to himself, and eventually the creation is over with that. The so-called creation, whom we are thinking about in such a big way, this has come from Krishna, this will go back to Krishna at the end. We don't need to worry about this creation too much. People are very worried about environment, isn't it? They're feeling that they have to maintain this world. This is too much in their, gone into their head. That's why they are so worried about it. They think that, of course, we should not exploit the material nature, because then the punishment will come from the material nature to us. There is no doubt about that. So we should be more frightened about the punishment, what we are going to receive, rather than maintenance of this material. Maintenance of the material world is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. Our duty is to take this responsibility of to understand our human body. Krishna has given to us for self-realization, not for exploiting material nature. The result of exploiting material nature will follow in a different way. So that's what it is mentioned here. Then, lastly, he gives this example of one important spiritual master, which is Peshakara, he is called here. That is this being. Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiyaha snehal dveshal bhayadvami yaditatal suruvanam. Verse 22. Dehi yatra yatra dhiya snehal dveshal bhayadvami manaha sakalam dharayet tat suruvanam yati. Wherever a person with his intelligence, with his love, or with his anger, or with his fear, somehow or the other, if you can get your mind concentration, ekagrata is called, the concentration of the mind, in that case, what will happen is he will attain that form. If you remember, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Rajasuyam sacrifice was going on, the question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. The question was this: how is that possible that Shishuvala, Dandavatra, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Kamsa, they have all attained spiritual perfection, isn't it? They all got liberated and went back. None of them had any devotion. They were all demons. From the worldly point of view, they were all demons. Kamsa was a demon, Ravana was a demon, Hiranyakashipu was a demon, and so Shishubala was a demon. They all got liberated and gone back. How come Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, how come I am sitting here still? I am a devotee, he says, I am still sitting here, but they have all gone back. So in answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned there very clearly, Gopya Gamal Bhayal Kamsa Desha Chaidyadayo Nava Sambhando Vishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Mayam Vibho. Narada Maharshi answered straight away that question. That question, answer was this: Gopya Kamal, whichever emotions you have, one has, whichever emotions one have, if you, through that emotion, through that feeling, if you can get your mind completely absorbed in Krishna, doesn't matter what it is, let that be hate, let that be anger, let that be fear, let that be lust, no matter what it is, the goal is Krishna. Somehow or the other, Krishna should be the goal in that. And it should be completely absorbed in Krishna. In that case, he can get liberated. This is the beauty of that. Gopis, Gopya Kaman, by lust they approached Krishna. The result was that they got purified. Eventually that lust turned into pure love for Krishna. That unadulterated pure Krishna consciousness, gopis became the example from that lusty relationship where they, gopis never studied any Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Remember that. Gopis never performed any kind of sacrifices or performed any penances, nothing. Practically nothing. They have, of course, performed that Kartikeya Vratam, which we see in the Bhagavatam for 41 days or something like that. But that was a very limited thing. Gopya Kaman, by all Kamsa, Kamsa, out of fear for Krishna, he became Krishna conscious at the end. Gopis became Krishna conscious through lust. And Kamsa became Krishna conscious through fear. Deshe Chaidyadayo Mrabha. That means Shishubala, out of his hate for Krishna, he became Krishna conscious. Sambandho Vishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vaya, Narada Maharshi says. Out of love, you, the Pandavas, have become Krishna conscious. Out of devotion, we became Krishna conscious. So, in different emotional platforms, they all became Krishna conscious and they all got liberated and gone back. That does not mean that we will follow Kamsa and Shishuvala. That's not possible, because they got that in three lives. Their personalities, generally, when we hear about Shishuvala, Kamsa and all that, we in our mind we think he is such a bad person, such a demon he is. And when you see the Mahabharata movies and the television and all that, how they present Kamsa, how they present Shishuvala, how they present Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and all that, we think he is so useless, isn't it? Actually it is not. They are far advanced than us. Spiritually they are more advanced than us. In three lifetimes they managed to get back to the spiritual world. And we? And we? How many lifetimes? 8.4 million already finished in different bodies. And still we are not sure whether we should go back or not. We are still wandering around here, isn't it? So this is the point. We shouldn't think of them as demons in that sense. At least in three lifetimes they made it. So credit goes to them than to us. We are normally thinking that Kamsa is such a demon, or Hiranyakashipu is such a demon, that we think we are higher than them, don't we? Oh, I have at least some love for Krishna. I'm chanting 16 rounds. Or I'm coming to the temple every day. So this kind of thoughts goes through ordinary mind, I'm saying. But from a spiritual point of view, that's not true. They had, whether it was hate for Krishna, Kamsa hated Krishna properly. So a fear for Krishna was so strong in Kamsa's mind. In the Bhagavatam you will see, Asinam Vaidyatam Stishtan Vinjanenam. While eating he couldn't eat, thinking is Krishna is this side or that side, looking at me. While sitting he will get up and check the cushions, is Krishna underneath that? He was sitting. Can you imagine that Krishna consciousness, state of Krishna consciousness? Similarly, walking, he will turn back and look, is Krishna following me? While sitting, while walking, while sleeping, all the time, Krishna conscious, that was Kamsa. Shishuvala, on the other hand, when he abused Krishna out of his hate inside, it was so perfectional in hate that there's nothing what he could not say against Krishna. He, anything and everything what Krishna has done, everything was fault finding by Shishuvala. He will say to Shishuvala, was very friendly with the Sahadeva and Bhima. They are relatives, aren't they? Kunti Devi's sister, son is Shishuvala. They are cousins. So this Shishuvala says to them that they are my relatives. There is no question about that. When Rajasuyam sacrifice was happening, they wanted a lot of gold and a lot of wealth for executing Rajasuyam. Shishuvala said to them only one thing. Shishuvala was very wealthy, extremely wealthy. After all, who is Shishuvala? He had come from the Krishna's servant in the spiritual world, isn't it? So Krishna made sure that when he comes here in Shishuvala's dress, he should not be poor, because if he is poor, it is a bad name for Krishna. So he made sure that Shishuvala had enough wealth. So Shishuvala also accordingly says to Bhima and Sahadeva, take as much wealth as you want. Sahadeva insisted to Shishuvala, please, you must come, my dear brother, for this sacrifice. Shishuvala says, I'll give you everything what you want, but I can't come there, he said. So Sahadeva asked why. He said, well, the moment I see him, he said, who? Krishna. He couldn't see him. He couldn't tolerate him. He said, the moment I see him, he said, the way he walks, with like women, you know, with anklets on his feet, and he has got this flute in his hand. What does he think, like a hero, he walks around? Like this, abuse in abuse and abuse all the time about Krishna. Krishna says, you also go back to spiritual world. So, because he abused so nicely, Krishna couldn't stop him. He said, you also go back. Whereas me? So, seeing Shishuvala and Kamsa, we cannot think that we can follow that. They have come here, they had this special ticket. When they came from there, they can come back in three lifetimes. We are not, unfortunately, in that situation. We are here, life after life, one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another, rotating here. This is our situation. So that's why,
it's mentioned here that yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam diyaha snehal dveshal bhayadvavi yaditatal surupadam.
Whatever form you absorb, ultimately you accept that form.
Kira veshaskradam dhyayan kudhyam tena praveshidaha yaditatal satmanam rajan puvaru asam tyajan. Kiradena kudhyam praveshidaha peshaskradam dhyayan purvarubam asamtya rajan etal salmadam yati.
Then there is a worm, and this particular bee, what it does is its reproduction process is like that. It flies around and sees this worm sitting in some leaf. This bee will go and pick up that worm and brings into its own nest, which is normally made out of this clay. A small nest. You will see that sometimes in the old buildings, on the wood or somewhere, you will find these holes where they have this nest built by this particular bee. So what it does is, it brings this worm, puts it inside this nest and stands outside as a watchman. It stands there. Now and then, with its horns, it goes in and gives a pokes itself onto the body of this worm. The worm feels the pain and the worm gets frightened of this bee. But it will not allow the worm to come out. It will stay outside watching this bee. After a long time, because this worm inside is continuously thinking about this bee outside, that worm changes its form and turns out into the form of the bee and comes out. This is the way it reproduces. That's what is mentioned here. Peshaskradam dhyayan. Peshaskradam dhyayan means that just like this special bee, which does this kind of reproduction, that in the same way, kudhyam tena praveshidaha, yadidal salpadam rajan, purva rubam asamtejan. Similarly, the living entity also in this world. Can you close that door, please? Similarly, the living entity also in this world, how it absorbs its mind, in whatever form it absorbs, accordingly the subtle body will carry that soul from this body to the next body. You can see how important karma vasanas are. The karma vasanas will create a particular form inside at the time of death. At the time of death, the karma vasanas inside will create some form in front of us. It will bring in front of us. Along with that, as soon as that form is created, the soul is carried away by the subtle body into that particular form. Into that particular form. This is how the process works. So, if that thought process is completely in Krishna consciousness, what will happen? We also get liberated. We also get similar body like Krishna's spiritual body in the spiritual world.
Evam gurubhyam edebhya eshame shikshidamati swatmo abhishikshidam buddhi shrunumi vadada prabhom. Edebhya gurubhyam me eshamati shikshidam.
I have learned all these lessons from these different spiritual masters.
He Prabhu Vadadame Swatmova Shikshidam Buddhi Shranu.
Now, after this, I have learned something more important than all these things, he says. Something I learned from my own body. You see, this is another interesting thing. So, 24 spiritual masters we spoke about. After the 24 spiritual masters, the Dattatreya Maharshi says to King Yadu, I have learned something more important from my own body. Just see how deeper that realization is. That's what he's saying in the next verse. From now on, that is from verse 25 to verse 29, or even up to 31, where it finishes. Where it finishes the Dattatreya Maharshi's words, they are very important verses. There's a lot of things connected with those verses.
Deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedur vibrasma sattva nidhanam sadadartyudakam tatvanyanena vimrushami yatha tathavi parakya mityavasito vijaramya sangaham. Deho gurur mama virakti viveka hedur.
Deho gurur mama virakti viveka hedur. This material body has taught me some two important lessons. What are they? Vivegam and Virakti. two things I learned from this body, he says. Therefore, material body has become my guru, my spiritual master, because they taught me two different important lessons. What are they? Vivegam and Virakti, he says here. Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hedu vibrasma sattvanidhanam saranar tudarkam. That if I haven't had this material body, I would have never developed any detachment from this world. Suppose if I have a body which is fully fit all the time, never gets sick, never gets old, always youthful, what will happen? Will I touch Bhagavatam? I would care. But what do I need Bhagavatam for? This is what will happen. This is what will happen to us. We are here in front of Srimad Bhagavatam because of material body. That because this body, we start giving trouble. And when it starts giving trouble, we start realizing the nature of this material body. How fallible it is. How temporary it is, and how unreliable it is. You cannot depend on this body. Any moment it will ditch you. Any moment it can ditch you. So, when that is the reality, why should I get attached to this body? This is the question. Therefore, material body has developed some kind of detachment in me. Dattatreya Maharshi says there. Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hedu. It also made me to think that if this body which will give me trouble all the time, and one day it is going to desert me, it's going to leave me, and to such a body, if I get attached, what will happen to me? I will suffer. That's all what the result will be. So that will develop a certain degree of detachment in me. Will it not? Any one of us, isn't it? Most of us who have got some problem with the body, we know that this body is only a problem. It's not going to help us very much. If it can be of help to us in our spiritual life to some degree, we should use it. Otherwise, this body is of no use to us. It's something which has come upon us, not out of our request. It has come because of our own activities, karma. Karma is behind this body. Prarabdham is behind this body. But except Srimad Bhagavatam, who else tells us this truth? Everybody else is telling us, eat this, develop the body like this, go to gym, get your fitness going, you will be alright. You know, NHS is there to shelter you at the end. All sorts of ideas in our head, thinking that this body. But Bhagavatam is saying, none of that will help you at the end. Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hedu. Virakti and vivegam must come from this body. If you have learned those two things from this body, you got the full benefit of this body. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. If I have developed complete detachment from material life by virtue of the presence of this material body, I have learned what I have to learn from this body. Virakti and vivegam. Virakti means detachment from this world. That useless this material body is, that realization. That is number one. Number two, vivegam. Vivegam means that ability to discriminate. That I should not take shelter of anything that is temporary. We all take shelter of the temporary material body. Rather, I should take shelter of the absolute reality, which is Krishna, the spiritual truth, which is permanent. This is what the body has taught me. If I take shelter of the temporary material body, tomorrow I will fall into distress. Because the body will leave me one day. If on the other hand, if I take shelter of Krishna, which is permanent, eventually it becomes the source of happiness for me to free myself from the influence cycle of birth and death. This is how Krishna consciousness has to be understood. That Krishna consciousness, or in other words, surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to the truth. Surrendering to the reality. So becoming bodily conscious means surrendering to the fault, surrendering to the false things, temporary material body. So that's what he's saying here. Bibrasma sattva nidhanam sadada atyudarkam. Then sadada udarkam sattva nidhanam bibrat. This material body
is only creating two things for me, birth and death, nothing else. In between, there is some pleasure for the senses. We think that that sensual pleasure in between is a great happiness. We forget the point, the thing called birth and the death at the end. And in this between the birth and death, so much other bodily tribulations we have to go through, which we ignore. We don't want to know any of those things, isn't it? And that is what he is reminding us here. Vibhrasma sattva nidhanam sadadat udarkam. What else is happening? We falsely identify with this body as well. This is another great handicap here. Not only we suffer from this material body, we also identify with that body. And sadadat udarkam, then but because it's giving me a lot of distress all the time, this material body, in different forms of illnesses and bodily pains and all kinds of diseases, it gives me, I know I can't trust this body. You also know you can't trust your body. Is it not? We all know we can't trust this body. Therefore we keep all kinds of tablets and syrups and lotions and whatever that is. We take shelter of boots, we take shelter of the GPs, and thinking that they will keep this body going a little bit more. But we know in our own heart they also can't help us very much. At the end, body will betray us, body will leave us in its own way. So that has created some deeper understanding that I cannot trust this body. That therefore, detachment develops. Anena tattvani yatha vimrishami. That it is only because I have got this body, I am able to think about all these things. Otherwise, how will I engage myself? The mind is there, the body is there, therefore I am able to search for the truth. That tathavi parakyam ityavasidaha asanga vicharami. But at the same time, I am always conscious of one thing. What is that? That's what he says here. Parakyam ityavasido vicharami asangaha. Because I know fully well that this body is going to be burned tomorrow in the cemetery, or it's going to be eaten by the dogs or the foxes one day, I cannot be attached to this body a lot, too much. I cannot be very attached to this body. That's what he is saying here. Deho gurumama virakti vivega hedu vibrasma sattva nidhanam sadadad udarkam tatvanyanena vimrushami yadha tadavi parakyam ityavasido vijaramya sangaha. I have learned so many lessons from this body. When we learn these lessons, this should stay in our head. Otherwise, it's very difficult. When these lessons are learned, if they are not staying in our head, it's when these are the these are what is called spiritual realizations. Spiritual realizations means all these things. That not the other things what we think is spiritual. We think a lot of other things are spiritual in this world, and we get victimized by that. But Srimad Bhagavatam has only one thing to tell us. Understand your body. Learn from that what lesson we have to learn. And let that lesson strengthen our resolve for spiritual life. This is what's more important. And it has given a lot of strength to a lot of devotees in the past. From studying their own body, they got the importance of becoming Krishna conscious and realizing the truth. They became just by getting sick in the body. How many cases in the history, if you look, you will see, just because people suffered heavily, all those in the great devotees, if you think that they all became great souls because by studying Shastram, no. Just by practical experience in this world, they became Krishna conscious. But because they were very rational in their thinking, and they had that good, sound understanding of realizing the importance of spiritual life, that they realized from this body, better I don't waste my time in trying to develop this body. It will give me trouble, rather let me use the time, for the little time what it has given me, to realize the truth. To realize the truth. But because this body brings the bodily identity, which is the greatest problem. Because of the identification of the body, we are unable to realize the self, isn't it? So, what it says here is, that this deha moham means identification with the body. Durvaro deha moham. Deha moham is very, very difficult to overcome. We know we can talk to others that this Prabhu, this bodily identification is not good for you. You can say this to others. But when it comes to the crunch, how absorbed we are in bodily identity, you will know it. And there are you have to look at your own life, you will see how it comes and holds you, and you will not be able to free yourself from that. Therefore it says, Durvaro Dehamoham Yadi Punar Adhuna Tarhi Rishesha Yogan Kutva Bhaktim Dadishtam Kuru Pada Pangeruhe Pangajaksha. That addressing Krishna, one devotee was saying, Durvaro Dehamoham Yadi Punar Adhuna Tarhi Nishesha Yogal Kutva Bhaktim Dadishtva Tava Kuru Pada Pangeruhe Pangajaksha. He says to Krishna that if you find that it is very difficult to get me out of this bodily identity, this is what he said to Krishna. He said, I know it's a very difficult thing, because he was intelligent, he sensed that the difficulty to overcome this bodily identity is very, very difficult. We try so hard, but it only takes a second to fall back into the bodily concept of life. That is how Krishna keeps us fighting in this world, isn't it? In the name of Hindu, Muslim, Christian, all identities we got. And we are comfortable with this identity. We think that in this identity we will make spiritual life. But spiritual life is not possible with bodily identity. Spiritual life is above bodily identity. And because we cannot come out of our bodily identity, and it is such a difficult thing. Durvaro Dehamoham. It says Dehamoham is so hard to give it up, to come out of this bodily identity. If it is impossible to get out of this bodily concept of life, at least keep my body free from diseases, he says, the devotee said to Krishna. Tarhi nishesha rogal krutva bhaktim dradishtaha. If you give me good health, at least I can develop some devotion for you. Tava kuru pada mangeru he pangajaksha. Pangajaksha means Krishna. He's addressing Krishna and saying to him, even if you can't help me to get me out of this bodily concept of life, at least give me enough help so that I can engage in some Krishna consciousness and develop devotion in my heart. Tava pada mangeru he pangajaksha. Nuinam nana bhavande. Samadigatamam Nuinam Nana Bhavande Samadigatamam Muktidam Vipradeham. Because Nuinam Nana Gatande Nuinam Nana Bhavande Samadigatamam Muktidam Vipradeham. Then I have got this human body, which means what? Which means this is the last vehicle, the best vehicle to getting out of this cycle of birth and death. You have given me that already. Nuinam nana bhavande samadhigatamam muktidam vipradeham. And that too a brahmana's body, where it's meant for austerities and penances. Even otherwise, if you take as a human body, which is a vehicle for practicing spiritual life, having given that, if you have given that, and then if you engage me, Shudre ha handa mama vishayam avirase pahimam. That Shudre ha handa, after giving this body to me as a human form, then if you control me and engage my mind in sense gratification, that is the most unfortunate thing. That's the most unfortunate thing. First of all, it is difficult to come out of bodily concept of life. Doesn't matter. It is very difficult. We know that. But if that is the case, devotee is saying to Krishna, give me enough health in this body so that somehow or the other I can practice Krishna consciousness and develop devotion to you. But instead of doing that, if you still engage me in sense gratification, nunam nana bhavande samadhigatamam muktiram vipradeham vishaya visharase. Instead, Vishaya Visharasam. Vishaya Visharasam means sense enjoyment. sense enjoyment, sense objects. Vishaya visharasa. Visha means poison. And drinking that poison of sense enjoyment. If I fall into that, what can I do? He says to Krishna. That Shubha Vishaya says, please protect me at least from that. This is the request of the devotee to Krishna. It is such a difficult thing. We think that bodily concept of life can be overcome. It is not possible so easily. But at least by practicing Krishna consciousness, bhakti process, it is a possibility that one day we may get to that situation. But instead of engaging in Krishna consciousness, if we fall into the process of sense gratification, then what choice, what chance have we got? This is the question. That hihi me dehamoham. When sense gratification starts, what happens? Dehamoham is very difficult to give up. Dehamoham, attachment to the material body. That, but at the same time, on the other hand, what's happening in my life? He says, Yal premahedo dehgehe vitte kalatradishu. Kalatradishu ja vivashidam tulpadam vismarandi. I have been caught up in few things. What? In my house, geham. Then vittam, making money. Kalatram, my wife. Kalatradishu, he says. That means wife, children, family life, social life, this life, that life. All sorts of things I am busy with. Why? Because I did not engage in anything what is meant for releasing from this cycle of birth and death. Yel premahedor dehe gehe vite kalatradishuja kalatradishuja vigasidam tulpadam vismarandi. The result of that, what has happened? I have forgotten your lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet, I have forgotten. All my life, I struggled very hard to make money and to maintain my family, to maintain my wife, to maintain my children, and to maintain my beautiful home. All these kinds of things I was busy with. And in that process, what has happened to me? I have forgotten your lotus feet. So I am vaneshunova paramiha paradasa ambradam cha akshikarna togjihva adhya vigarshani avashamada ida kobinatval padabjem. He says here, so I am vaneshunova. And what kind of, what is the nature of this body? Soyam vaneshunova. Either it will be consumed by the fire at the end, at the time of death, or it will be eaten by the dogs. Paramiha varada sambradam cha akshikarna tum jikho adhya vigashyandi avashamada ida kobina twal padabje. And you have given me these beautiful senses. And these five senses. Five? Senses, he is considering that something like five wives. Five wives. All these wives are fighting each other. One wife is telling, come along with me, we'll go and watch the movie. Another wife is telling me, come with me, I'll go and eat nice food in the restaurant. Another wife is telling me, let's go to the garden, smell all the nice flowers there. So different things. He's talking about these different senses, five different senses, how they pull a person for sense gratification. They are all pulling in different directions. Not one of the senses is telling me, let me engage in Krishna consciousness. Is any sense telling us any time, let us engage in Krishna consciousness? Not one of them. They are all busy in enjoying the different sense objects. And that's all what they'll do to us. Kobinatval padabjain. Not one of them is willing to pull us towards Krishna. This is our unfortunate situation. There is a saying, if you read the third canto, you will see there. When we take birth, and the womb of the mother, at different stages, at different times during the pregnancy, at different months, different things comes out, isn't it, in the body. Sometimes the senses comes out, the head comes out, the legs comes out. All sorts of bodily growth happens inside. So at each time when this development is happening inside, we pray to Krishna that
thank you for giving this access, thank you for giving this, thank you for giving that. But nobody made us to ask Krishna, please give me some taste for chanting the holy name. That we never asked. Everything else we asked from Krishna. Except this one thing, that to chant Krishna's holy names, that desire, we never asked Krishna about that. That's why when we came out, that desire never came to us. That's why we have to keep pushing this inside. From outside we have to push it in, so that this will happen. Tum jikhwa de vigar shandi avasha madayida kobinatval pada abjain. When through the mother, good food is coming to us while within the womb. Generally, when we are inside the womb of the mother, it's considered to be like a yogi's state. A yogi position it is. Because you can see that the food is supplied from the mother. The air is supplied from the mother. So all the function of the body is not complete at that time. More it's like a yogi's existence. He has a complete control on the whole body. It is all supplied externally, from the external sources. So just like a yogi has a complete control on its bodily functions, the baby also inside has a complete control on its functions, because it's all coming from external sources. But every time when it is coming, the external sources is supplying to us what we need for our growth and sustenance. We thank Krishna for that, or for providing us this, providing us that. But we never ask the Krishna, please supply me some taste for chanting the holy name also. We didn't bother about that. We wanted all the sense gratification. Just like we wanted to eat nice food, we wanted to breathe, we wanted to see nice things inside the consciousness. And like that, all Krishna has provided us. So, tuk jikho ardhyam vigarshani avashamada ida kobinatval padabjain. So here, you will see in this verse that this material body is nothing but to teach us renunciation and detachment. That is the two things it has to offer. Now, after that, what happens? That you will see here that in two verses, the next two verses, very important verses, he says here that how this dukkham or distress, when it becomes very intense, how it will help us to become serious in Krishna consciousness. Jayatma japta pashubratya grihapta vargan pushnadiyal priyachayeshaya vidanvan swande sakrucham avirudhada sadeha srishvasya bijam avasidhari vrikshadharmah jukhaigado amuvabakarshari kakhigarshal Shishnu onyadastha kudaram shravanam kudaschil ghana onyadastha valadrik koja karma shaktir vrikvasa vatnim iva gehavalin lunandi jayalma japta pashubratya griha apta vargan pushmadiyal priyachirshaya vidanvan purushaha yat priyachirshaya jayadi vargan vitunvan pushnadi Sakrutram aviruddha dhanaha saha deha swande asya bijam srishta buddha dharma avasidadi. That because why do we work hard in this world? Because we love this body, isn't it? It is for the sake of this body we do everything in this world. We work in this world for the pleasure of this body. We get married in this world for the pleasure of this body. We have children in this world for the pleasure of this body. We have all kinds of sense gratification for the pleasure of this body. We acquire a lot of material things in this world for the pleasure of this body. We acquire servants, house and relatives and social life, everything for what? For the pleasure of this body. So if you look at it that way, everything you can see in this world, practically, all our effort is directed towards this, only maintaining this body. So he says here, one who is doing that with a lot of effort, doing all these kind of things, that it will die out one day.
How? That it says here, Srishtva Vrikshadharma Avasedadi. That
if it is finishes with this body, it's not too bad. After doing all these things, if it finishes with this body, it's not too bad. But on the other hand, just like a tree which does not give any proper fruits, a tree which is useless in other sense. You see a lot of useless trees, isn't it? They are just there to take the space. Or there's nothing useful from that tree. It doesn't give flowers, it doesn't give fruits, it doesn't have even a proper wood that can be used for any construction or furniture or anything like that. Just its space takes a lot of space. Not only that, such trees sometimes, they generate a lot of so many other useless trees from that. And then it dies and goes away. So you have, just like a weed, it creates a lot of useless, other useless trees as well, and then it dies away. So similarly, our life also, which is absorbed in this family, from the social life, from all our so-called happiness of this world, at the end what it does, creates a lot of vasanas inside from this material life we have led in this world, and then it dies and goes away. This material body dies and goes away. And it generates a lot of many more material bodies but in the form of this vasanas inside, for which we have to accept more material bodies afterwards. So that is that example given here.
Jayatmajata Pashubritya Grihaptavarman Pushnari Yal Prayajiginshaya Vidanvan Swande Sakritcham Avarudhadanasadehaha Srishtvase Bijam Avasidadi Vrikshadharmaha.
Then, these kind of trees, which are useless, before they die, they make sure that many more are born from them. And at least they will plant the seed before they leave. Similarly, this material body also, it creates a lot of karma vasana before it goes away from this world. So that's the benefit I got from this body at the end. After looking after this body for 70, 80 years, working for 40, 50 years till we got our pension, and try to defend from everyone else to protect this body, and did everything what's necessary to give pleasure to this body. In other words, whole life we have surrendered in maintaining this body in one form or the other. And what happens at the end? This body leaves us, giving us a lot of pain, plus it generates many more material bodies before it leaves us. That's a good thing it does for us. Just imagine. And a comparison is given here to these useless trees, which does not do anything good in this world, except it sucks water from the ground, and it creates a lot of leaves, falls all over, you have to clean them up, and you have to be frightened that in the heavy storm it may fall on your head or fall on the house, whatever it is. And similarly, a lot of trees like this, and they'll create, and you'll see that as far as reproduction is concerned, you don't need to plant them very much or look after them, they'll grow on its own. Many more will come out of it. There will be some nuts which will fall in the air and it will spread around, and somewhere else it will sprout and come up. So similar to those trees, if we treat our material body in the same way, instead of giving us any help, any assistance in spiritual realization, it sucks everything, our time and energy, from us throughout the life. And not only it has wasted our whole lifetime because of this body, at the end it creates many more material bodies for us to waste in the future. This is what it does to us. That's what he's saying here.
Jayalmajapta Pashubhakti Brihapta Vargan Pushnadiyal Priyachigi Shaya Vitanvan Swande Sagracham Avarudhanasa Deha Srishtvasya Bijam Avasidadi Vrikshadharma.
Then, Jihvaigado Amubakarshadi Karhidarshal
Sishnonyadastamudaram Shravanam Gudaschil Ghanonyadaschamaladrikkoja Karma Shaktir Bhakyasabhatnim
Iva Grehavadim Nunandi. Very important words. You know why it is important? Krishna didn't get these words from himself. These words Krishna got it from Prahlada.
You will see, if you go and look in the seventh canto, when Prahlada glorified Narasimha Murti, that is where this verse had come. So Krishna heard that when he was Narasimha Murti, Krishna heard this verse from Prahlada and he kept it in his mind. He liked the verse so much. Krishna loved that verse so much that when it came to our Dattatreya Maharshi, Krishna made Dattatreya to repeat the same verse again. Through Prahlada also, Krishna made Prahlada to speak this verse. And the same verse Krishna made Dattatreya Maharshi also to speak. When you go home, you can look at it. In your seventh canto, you will see exactly the same verse. There is so many interesting things in this verse. Shishnonyadastha udaram shravanam kudaschil. We are talking about the different senses. Beginning with who? Beginning with jihwa. Jihwa means the tongue. The tongue, the most powerful of all, the leader of that. And so on and so forth. Then shishnam, shravanam, and so on. The different. We have five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, isn't it? Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. In these five senses of knowledge, what do? They always engage us in some activity or the other. Throughout the day, we are only doing one thing, that is sense gratification. We know that, but we think sense gratification means only if you, this is the important point. Sense gratification is not only if you are eating some sweet rice or if you are reading a newspaper or watching television. No. Sense gratification is the only thing we do whole day. The mind will not allow you to sit quietly anything. If the television is not on, we will look for something else. Is it not? Our mind will not allow to sit peacefully in one place and be satisfied. That's not our nature. That's just the way it works. Senses works like that. So if it is not the eye, if the eyes are not giving you satisfaction, you will turn to another sense. Oh, let me have some nice prasadam there to eat. If there is no good prasadam and you are not in a position to eat something, then your karmendriyam will come. Karmendriyam means, you know, the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. They are there. We've talked so many times about that. If the Jnanendriyam is not helping, Karmendriyam will take over at that time. Then it will say, oh, let me go there. The legs will start telling. I'll go there, there will be somebody else, I can have a chat with him. So, when one sense or the other is always pulling you in one way or the other, one direction or the other, that's the interesting thing. That is the most interesting thing. Prahlada found this out very well. And he felt that he has to mention this to Narasimha Murti. That. And Granonya Shabadadrit Koja Karma Shakti. When all these senses are active like this, there is one thing which is away from all this, that's called Karma Shakti. Have you thought about this Karma Shakti? What it means? Karma Shakti means when these senses are active, what will happen? What will happen is this karma shakti inside, karma shakti means the desire to execute karma, will come out in some form or the other. And normally what happens is, this karma shakti, because he cannot control his mind, he is not able to control himself, what will happen is, it will come out in some form. It will come out in some form. It can turn out to be social service. The fact is, the social service is not done with the intention of serving the society. He is unable to control his mind. This is the reality. Most of the people do not know this truth. Bhagavanam is telling us that. In the name of social service, so many things goes on in this world. When two parties are fighting,
the Red Cross is coming with the van with the medicine. Who want the medicine? Do you think the Red Cross is so concerned about the death? No. Red Cross is not able to sit quiet and control his mind. Therefore, he starts with the van flying over with all this. It's the same thing in devotional service also. Because they can't sit and talk about and hear about Krishna, they'll create some devotional service for others to do. And if you are not doing it, you are in trouble. You are not a devotee. This is all going on. This is in the name of devotional service going on. Because this karma shakti is pulling him so strongly, unable to control his mind, he creates new projects for his karma shakti to engage him. Prabhupada found this out. Jikvaigado amam abagarshadi karki tarshal shishno nyadastha udaram shravanam kudaschil grano nyadastha baladrikvaja karma shaktir bhakya sapatnim iva gehavadim lunandi. This is our situation in this world. We can create so many projects in this world in the name of Krishna consciousness. And we can be engaged in that, thinking that I am also a devotee. I am also doing devotional service. That is endless. And then you will say, Krishna's devotional service is unlimited. This is our excuse for that. Why? I can't control my mind. That is the problem. Problem is inside me, not outside. If Krishna wants such a lot of service in the name of devotional service, we create in that way. At one stage, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this, but we didn't take serious note of it. Still, we ignore that thing. He said, I had to create all these big, big projects for my big, big men, he said. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness is not so complicated. Just study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll understand what Krishna consciousness is, and if you follow that process, it will take you back to the spiritual world. But because we cannot control our karma, this karma shakti is so potent inside, I have to keep on creating new project every time so that I can show to the world I am engaged in devotional service. This is how the thing is. This is simple. It's not so difficult to understand. That's why Prahlada caught that word karma shakti there. The Srimad Bhagavatam is very accurate on these things. The knowledge what Bhagavatam can give us is unlimited as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned. It will very bluntly, it will tell us that jihvaigado anam apagarshati karki darshal shishno nyadastha udaram shravanam kutaschil grano nyadastha chabaladal kochakarma shaktir bhakya sapatim iva gehavadim lunandi. This is the situation with most of us. In other words, when we are unable to control our senses, unable to control our mind, our situation is very unfortunate. We don't have any more capacity. We have no control on ourselves. That's what it means. And in that situation, all we can do is to completely driven by the senses, driven by the mind, driven by the intelligence, driven by the senses of action. That's all it is. The sages who knows this thing very well, like in the modern world, we say we want freedom for the senses, isn't it? Freedom for the mind, freedom for the body. This is the modern thing. Modern concept is based on this. We want freedom for everything, what we want to do. That we believe in that, isn't it? You see, the sages' point is important. What they are telling us is, We want freedom from the senses, not freedom for the senses. We don't want freedom for the mind, we want freedom from the mind. We don't want freedom for the body, we want freedom from the body. This is the difference. Freedom for the senses, freedom for the mind, freedom for the body. This is not what we are looking for. We are looking for freedom from the senses. Freedom from the mind, freedom from the body. This is what we want really. That is what will bring peace inside. Otherwise, how can there be any peace inside? Throughout life, you'll be creating new projects and you'll be running after those projects, thinking that you are making spiritual life. Spiritual life doesn't work like that. So, jiva yado amam agarshadi kakhi darshal shishno nirastaku daryam shravanam kudaschil Grananyada Chabaladrikoja Karma Shaktir Bhakya Asabatim Iva Gehabadim Lunandi.
he is considering ourselves to be like a householder. A householder who is married to 5, 6, 7 wives, how that life will be. How that life will be. It will be a very difficult life for him. And similarly in this case also, Krishna is saying here, then through this example he has spoken about, he is saying here that it is not much different for a person who is engaged in this kind of activities. Now, then, after talking about this verse, all these things are spoken here only for one reason, to make us understand the principle of Guru Tattva, this principle of spiritual master. Unfortunately, many times, even after repeating, and so much has been spoken in the Shastram, when it comes to an ordinary person, normal people tendency is to take a form of a person, spiritual master's form, and start worshipping that form, and get stuck in that form. Whatever the spiritual master has told us to do and understand, we will not take it. We will simply think, let me worship him now. Make all the things what is necessary to worship him. And goes in that direction. Nothing what he has spoken has entered into the ear. Nothing has gone in. What Krishna has spoken, what the spiritual master has spoken, that has not gone in. On the other hand, in his own mind, he has developed a certain understanding. And he starts thinking, I am progressing in spiritual life. And how many people are stuck like this in this world? How many innumerable number of people are stuck in their spiritual life in this situation? They just don't know where to go next. They are stuck in that situation. And there is not much further hope also because of this situation. That is why in the very next verse, Krishna says there, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktya Vrikshan Sarin Srivavashun Gagadamsha Malsyan Taisai Adushtakdaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmavaloka Dushanam Udama Vadevaham. If you understand this next verse, you will see what I am talking about, how true it is. Krishna says there, Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktyaha. That Brahma, when created us, he thought a lot before he created this human species. Why? Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajaya Atma Shaktyaha. That he kept on creating one after the other different species. After creating all those species, Brahma was not getting any satisfaction in himself. Why? Vrikshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadamsha Malsyan. The different species were Vrikshan, Sarim, Srapam, Pashu, Khagam, Dasham, Malsyan. All the aquatics, birds, beasts, all sorts of things he has created. Why was he not getting satisfied? Why? Taisai, Adushtakadayaha. He was not at all happy inside. He was feeling unhappy still after creating all of them. Why? Purusham vidhaya brahma valogadushanam udamabadevaham. That Adushtakadaya, that supreme, when we say Brahma is created, actually Krishna is created, isn't it? Through Brahma, creation happened. But behind that, the source is Krishna. So Krishna was not satisfied, in other words. Taisaira dushtakadaya purusham vidhaya brahma valoga dishanam udamabadevaha. But when it came to the human body, when it came out, they felt happy. Krishna also felt happy. Why? This one particular word, you can underline that. Brahmava Loka Dishanam. Brahmava Loka Dishanam. Brahmava Loka Dishanam means the ability to develop self-realization or spiritual knowledge or to realize the truth. This is called Brahmava Loka Dishanam. This Brahmava Loka Dishanam is an exclusive capacity, is an exclusive capability given to human society only. In no other species this possibility exists, Brahmavaloka Dishanam. So therefore, it is such an important thing, this human body, that it has got this capacity to develop the process of self-realization and to get out of the cycle of birth and death. In all other species, no possibility. except in this human body. So, when they created this human body, when Brahma created this human body, they felt happy. Brahma felt happy. Why? Krishna felt happy because at least now I have got one species which is capable of developing the science of self-realization or realizing the self, and that's what made Krishna happy. Krishna was also experimenting. Krishna was also not just creating whimsically. He was creating different species, but he saw in all the species there were different shortcomings. They couldn't do this. But when it came to the human form, he saw Brahmava Loka Dishanam is possible there. That's what he's saying here. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktya Aha Vrushan Sarin Sribhavashun Kagadam Shamalisyan Taisai Radushtakraya Aha Purusham Vidhaya Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamavadevaha. Which other form of body is capable of realizing the self except the human body? Therefore, Brahmava Loka Dishanam. Brahmava Loka Dishanam is the qualification of this body, human body. If it is not utilized for that purpose, you have lost it. That's what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha turnam vaded yaded anuvurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. Krishna says, labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande, that human body I have given to him after going through all the 8.4 million different species. After going through all that, I have given him this human body for Brahmava Loka Dishana. For that purpose, I have given this body to him. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande, after many, many different bodies, I have given this to him for that purpose. Krishna has given to us, that's why we got it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have got it. We could be a snake or a rat or a mouse or whatever that is, wandering around in some form somewhere in the forest. But Krishna has picked and made us qualified. Somehow or the other, something has happened in our process of this transmigration, that something has happened that we got qualified to get this human body. Krishna is thinking like that. Krishna is not thinking like the way we are thinking about us. We are thinking, oh, we got this human body because I must be somebody important. And not only that, I think that because I got this human body, everybody else should be under my control. This also I think very strongly, isn't it? That's many people think like that. Everything else is created in this world is for my enjoyment. I've got every right to exploit everyone, cheat everyone, so that I can be the controller. This is our understanding. But Krishna's understanding is, labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthanam anityam abhihaviraha, that this body I have given, what is the nature of that body? Arthanam anityam abhihaviraha. It is temporary. Krishna says, it's not a permanent thing I have given it to him. It's very, very temporary. And it has a purpose behind it. And one who is using that for the right purpose, Krishna says, he is dhira. He is courageous. He is the person who has got the strength. No, otherwise everyone else is weak as Krishna is concerned. He is useless. As far as Krishna is concerned, he is a weak person who doesn't have that seriousness in spiritual life. Therefore he is saying like that, manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraham. But he says to Uddhava, turnam vaded yaded anumurtiyaval, that this body, even while you are watching that, it will drop away. It will leave you and go. Turnam vaded yaded anumurtiyaval, that it will not give you much time for yourself. First of all, even if you have a body, the early part of life is spent in playing, as a balasthaval krida sakta, tarunasthaval taruni sakta. When we are grown up young men, busy in enjoying senses, and then afterwards vriddhasthaval chinda sakta, at the old age thinking about the past, what happened in the youth, how I did this, how I did that,
you know, what happened in the office when he did this to me, what I did to him. Like this, talking all big, big things, what I did in my career, so-called professional career. Nowadays, nobody cares. Whatever, if you... Then some youngster comes over and he takes over and he says that you are all useless old men, you get out of this place. He kicks you out from there, hands over the notice and leaves you. So, but still you are keeping in your mind all that thoughts very strongly, how efficient and capable you are in your youth in doing different things. That's what Krishna is saying here. Turnam padeyade anumurtiya aval. That in all this he spends his old age also. So, boyhood is gone in playing, youthhood is gone in sense enjoyment, old age is going in analyzing the life. Turnam padeyade anumurtiya aval. Nishrayasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. Nishrayasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. That this happiness what he is looking for is not available in any of these places, either in the boyhood or in the youthhood or in the old age. I have given the body to him only for one purpose. Because this body is there, presently available to him, he should use that body for self-realization, for realizing the truth, what he is. To come out of this cycle of birth and death, once for all, to bring back to the spiritual identity. If he has not used that purpose, the same body, he has lost that chance and the great loss for himself. He has lost his soul. That's how Krishna calls that. Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahusambhavandhi manushyam arthadam anityam api hadiraha purnam padedyade anumurtiyaval. Nishrayasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. Because Krishna says that if he is looking for all these kinds of happiness, what we find in this world, why does he need a human body for that? Why does he need a human body for that? In fact, when the hog is eating the stool, it gets enjoys the taste much better than when we eat halwa or sweet rice. This is the fact. The way a hog enjoys the stool is far, far better on a much higher level than when we enjoy sweet rice or halwa. Why is it like that? Because the power of the senses what's been given to the hog is much more for that gratification. This is why when once, yes, you know, you all know this story, this is a well-known story, that Indra came here as a hog, isn't it? You know, he had to accept the body of a hog. And Mr. Hog was living with Mrs. Hog. Many Mrs. he had. Not one, many. And in each of these Mrs. he had many, many progeny also. Children, grandchildren like that. Indra was living like that in this condition. For some curse, he had to come down from the heavenly planet and take the body of a hog. So, this hog family were all living together in absolutely disgusting, filthy place for us. But for them, comfortably situated. In the sewer, eating everything what was coming through the sewer. And whole family was enjoying the feast every day together. So one day, Srinarada Maharshi came and told Indra, now your time is over here. The curse time is over. Come back to the heavenly planet where your position is vacant for so long time. Come back and take that position there. Indra says, how can I leave this? I am so happy here with my family, he says. My family, they are all very, they love me so much. And we all have a feast together every day. And we enjoy this life so much. I am not coming back now. I'm happy in my family. Who will look after my family, he says. Indra's family. So Indra's answer apparently like this to Srinarada Maharshi. Eventually Srinarada Maharshi has to bring him out of that situation. To bring him back to the spiritual, into the heavenly planets. So what I'm saying is that this is the situation that we... Our taste for material life and our material enjoyment is such that no matter how many times Srimad Bhagavatam repeats it to us, still we will find it very difficult to give it up. So therefore Krishna is saying that turnam padeyade anumurtiyaval.
that as far as sense enjoyment is concerned, he should not be worrying that it's only possible in the human body. It is possible in all other species also. As far as meat eating is concerned, a tiger or a lion gets much more happiness while he eats the meat of a deer or any other living animal. We don't have to put so much effort to cook the meat, to put the spices and to make it more tasty for our taste. Even without all that, the tiger and the lion is enjoying the meat better. So similarly, everything else, all this kind of sense enjoyment what we get is in that category. Krishna is saying there, Nishrayasaya Vishaya, Kalu Sarva Dasyaya. Krishna says, why a human being should be so absorbed in this sense gratification when sense gratification is available in so many other species on a much higher level? As far as Krishna is concerned, on a much higher level in the other species. Whereas I am given the body for one purpose, Brahmava Loga Dishanam. That's not happening. That's why Krishna is feeling sorry for us. When we don't take to spiritual life, when we don't take advantage of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we don't chant the holy names of Krishna, it is Krishna who feels for us, seeing our pathetic condition, pathetic state of affairs. And therefore, he sends devotees, he sends the realized souls, he sends Udeva Goswami and so many others to tell us the truth, to wake us up. Uttishtada, Jagrada, Prapyarani, Bodhada. Upadesha says like that. Somehow or the other to wake us up from our slumber and to come to this, wake up to this reality that human life is only one and only one goal, self-realization, nothing else. Everything else is our manufactured ideas. Instead of keeping that whole goal in the focus, in the forefront, if we keep so many others in the forefront, we have lost that chance. That's all Krishna has to say. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glory to Shri Prabhupada.
Yeah.